Hello and welcome back, Relay friends. My name is Matt Chittum. I'm here with Laura Thweet, Tommy Runs, and Peter Bronka. And to the people who are following us over on Instagram at Relay_site, let me just first say thank you so much for all the shout outs we have gotten in the last 3 or 4 days. People who are actively looking for a compilation of Peter Bromka's attire. During these episodes, we are trying to gather all of the video required to make just a wonderful, maybe even present this on YouTube, like a long compilation video. And Peter has not disappointed us today. As Tommy said, this is straight up Mr. Rogers situation right here. So
I was invited to be a part of a podcast, and I was under the false impression that I could just sit in my son's closet and talk to the world without getting blown up about my threads. But here I am. Here we are. It's a Monday morning, and you know, I got nowhere to be, but I feel good.
I almost cut you off and said the only thing missing out of this ensemble is a cup of tea. And I shit you not, the minute the thought crossed my mind, you picked up a mug with the little tea thing hanging out at the end of it. This is perfect. Bag.
I'm missing the scarf, Peter. That was my favorite. I love when you have the scarf. It also turns you into someone else. So
the scarf will, make a return. I'm worried about people out there. Scarves are for everyone. And I think everyone should be taking a moment before winter is over to look in their closet and just have a moment with themselves and think, do I want to be a scarf person before the season is up? Because in summer, then it's a pashmina thing. That's a whole different. We can talk about that.
You got words, bro.
I didn't even hear that before. We need to see the pashmina. Peter in his pashmina.
Can we Google that?
What is that?
We got time before it's that season. Hey,
can we ask the producer to pull up a pashmina, please, so we can know what this looks like? Do you wear like?
I need to know how to spell it.
Do you wear like a
blanket thing? Isn't it?
Do you wear pashmina when it's like a pashmina? Yeah, that's exactly looks
the first good, thing so. That comes up on Google is why is pashmina illegal?
I could definitely rock a pashmina. I should
to advocate for everyone to embrace their inner flair.
Pashmina.
Unless it's from Tibetan mountain goats who are farmed for their fleece and exploited constantly and eventually killed. So Peter, thank you for bringing awareness
to that. Yeah.
There was some running that happened this weekend.
As he sips tea.
I don't know about you guys. I spent most of the weekend not running. And anytime I wasn't running,
me neither.
I would think, man, those women down in the California desert are still running. Like, I went to bed one time and I woke up in the middle of the night to just get a drink of water and thought they've been running this whole damn time. So Lululemon Further has been going and going and going almost for a week
now. Isn't it still going?
It is still going.
Going.
Let me check the latest. We're at hour 121.
Got like a day and a half left.
I was thinking they got to add that hour because
because we sprang forward.
They have a lot of scientists. I'm sure that they did not lose track of an hour.
So
they're just going off of Steph's iPhone. Hey.
So I'm a visual person. So I've been seeing it all and like liking everything I see and then like sharing it, sending it to my friends. It's like, oh, this is amazing. But tell me the whole premise behind it. Like, I don't know the time frame and all that, but like I love that it's like involving everyone. Like there's professional athletes to like the amateur athlete. And I love that it's like covering the whole scope of women, really. So it's just awesome.
Yeah. So they announced this last year. And the idea being that this whole project was going to be about them fully investing in these 10 people. By them, I mean Lululemon, fully investing in these 10 people to see what they are capable of. And like you said, Tommy, the full scope of athletic individuals, from the dedicated amateur runners all the way up to Camille Herron, right, who has set numerous records and one of the best of all time, right? And not only that, but just get the full gamut of, you know, embracing diversity in a way that like scans the scope of the word, right? Mm-hmm. Just in terms of athletic fit, athletic reputation and body type and cultural background, all of it. They really wanted to encapsulate everything in this situation. So it really was an audacious bid, especially for a company that's not really associated with running, right? So the whole year they've been doing all this intensive stuff from the coaching side, the science side. They already had like good gear, right? Everyone at Lululemon has quality products from like a gear perspective, but like even on the shoe side, tailoring the shoes to each woman's foot with the idea of trying to see how far they can run over a 6-day span and fully investing in them, not just financially in terms of like salaries, but also with all the science behind them, the coaching behind them, the high levels of like, you know, therapists, sports therapists, nutrition, all that stuff. And then if you've seen the videos and pictures of them down in SoCal, like just the whole setup down there is top notch. So we've heard a lot of this behind the scenes from Stephanie, who's been a part of this project for over a year now. And it really is grade A stuff. And, you know, for a long time, they were kind of radio silent. Like they made the big announcement and then they were silent for a long time. And even us, like me and Peter would talk all the time, like what's going on with the project? It wasn't like they were really advertising it a lot during the interim period. And then they went and launched it and they have some heavy hitters down there. That's for sure. And they're bringing it. But now it's just kind of like, how far can these people go is the idea. So that's why they called it Further, not only in terms of figuring out what they can do athletically during this week long period, but also furthering women's endurance running and the science and support behind it in the future. So right now you see these people who are dedicated amateur runners going out there and like clocking over 200 miles in 5 days.
Yeah.
And all this stuff like in the middle of the desert and Camille Herron looking to break every record under the book for a 6-day run and at every step along the way. It really is a great thing. And I cannot wait to get Stephanie on here after the fact to give us the full breakdown and also to share what has been going on over the past year that's kind of been a little bit more tight-lipped about all the things that have been happening behind the scenes.
If you want to establish yourself in the run space, pour a bunch of money in, get a bunch of people there and see what you can do. A lot of people didn't know 6 days, for whatever reason, is a standard, I'm putting air quotes because this is outside my expertise, an established standard ultra running time bound amount. I don't know why it's not 7 days. I'd go 7 if I was going to go longer than an hour. So 6 days is a thing that people have done. Therefore, it made it some amount of time that they could go after. I will say the beginning and ends of the goals is sort of the word Further is my understanding. Full disclosure, I got in a little bit of a back and forth with some of my friends who are involved in the program because I was like, what's the damn goal here? Like running requires goals. Running requires like, hey, Tommy, what are you shooting for? I'm just going. Okay, Forrest Gump. Like, what are we talking about here? I think it was a good pushback on me that many things have not been explored. Like there's opportunity for people to just push themselves and discover what's on the other side of that barrier for themselves. So there were people, and this actually gets into like sort of what a lot of us do on here is tell stories. It's a lot easier to tell the story for Camille Herron, who is shooting for the overall male female human record for most running in 6 days. It looks like she's going to fall short from the geeked out websites I've been able to find. Part of my curmudgeonness was that Lululemon, they do have lululemonfurther.com as a standing leaderboard, but other than that, there's no official output of information. And we've gotten a little spoiled in the sort of like Aravaipa Ultra World, Free Trail Ultra World. We're used to UTMB like live streams and information telling stories about who these athletes are. To my chagrin, they've left it to the Instagram stories of a bunch of influencers. And to me, that is like a pretty subpar way to tell stories. Click into someone's Instagram stories and they have like, you can't even see how many dots there are. There's so many stories and there's reshares of reshares and there's text on text on text. I'm like,
that's like the livest of live streams, bro. Just let it play.
Yo, TikTok, get out of here.
Yo, just let it play.
Yeah, I know. Well, yo, I have a cup of tea and a cardigan on, so
yeah, sip your tea, old Mr. Rogers over there.
Yeah,
he's like, you know what? Social media is not how you bring the news, people. But honestly, though, I get what you're saying, though, like about like the distance and like, hey, having a goal. I feel like it's awesome. That's why I said I think it's really cool that they have multiple different, you know, multiple people,
yeah,
types of runners, because like a Camille, like it's very obvious what she's going after. But then like on the other side, you have like Kayla, who's like, maybe she has a personal goal, like maybe that she's kind of reaching for. But it's like one of those things where if everyone had this number that they were reaching for, it would take the experience of the person watching it makes it slightly different. Like it's like, oh, well, they didn't reach their goal, even though this person ran, you know, 325 miles in these days, which is way farther than like some of us would have thought we could ever do.
And how could some of these people even create a goal, right? Like how did Kayla Jeter sit there and be like, I heard you run an ultra marathon. Her to be like, well, my goal is now 200 miles in 5 days. It's like, wait, what?
And so you hit 198 and then it's like, oh, and then it's like has some weird like negative connotation to it. But so someone that's watching it, that looks up to her, that follows her, that is just like kind of getting into running or like started a couple of years ago that never thought they'd run a full marathon, watches her do this thing and just push herself further. And then they go, so okay, this is great. You see what I did there? See what I did there?
Since it started, I've come across more of these women's stories. I mean, there's also 10 women, so there's a lot of stories to tell. My understanding, and we'll have to get Steph on here, is that she's been coaching Vrico, who last year wanted to run a 5K, and now, as of this recording, has run 157 miles over the last 5 days.
That's
so
incredible.
Like,
that's awesome.
That's like, Tommy, your two marathons are pretty cute compared to that, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy, two marathons.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm
saying. 7 days apart. Oh,
I had 7 days to rest. You're really crushing it, Tommy.
We're going to get, commission Rico to do one of those, what is it called? Like where a celeb like leaves a voicemail for you. Like, oh, Tommy, I heard you run two marathons.
Good job.
I crush you.
she should sign your t-shirt.
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. I'll send it to you, sign it, and then I'll send it back. Write the number of miles you ran as well so I can add mine up and it's nothing even close.
Wait, can I geek out for a second? The thing I was actually most excited about, this is so nerdy. They established the loop, then they established all these like these rest stop areas. So each woman has her own little pit stop area that she pulls into and gets everything she wants. But then on the back side of the course, not sure why, they installed, Tommy, this is right up your alley, as a man who just ran on a force plate in Asia, they installed a long force plate. Force plates are usually like, in my experience, maybe like 2-3 feet deep. This thing looks about to be like 10 to 15 feet long, and it's in a tent along the course, on the backside of the course, along with like 5 different motion capture cameras, so that you can track the runner and say, we literally have data showing how their form changed over the event. Mm. And we're able to see like what impact that had on their body, how it changed, all these different things. So,
man, I can't even get a race photo to look good at mile 3. Can you imagine what those race photos look like at mile 200?
I mean, they have so many.
A marathon. I want a force plate at certain points.
I know. It's like,
there's like the breakdown and like where you ultimately end up, like at mile 25. Like, that'd be so interesting. Like, I'm not a big data person, but that's fascinating. I'd love to see that breakdown.
And it's like the watches are trying to do that now. You can like look in at, I'm sure, Tommy, you could like pull up your Garmin data and be like, okay. It's estimating like stride rate and stride length. But I mean, this is totally professional level.
This is like real science, like science. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool.
The crazy
part
is
this loop that they're running?
It's like 2.6 miles.
Oh my God. That's what they're running around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have nightmares.
We'll never complain about 25 laps on the track again. Holy shit.
Yeah, they're going to have nightmares, dude. Imagine that many laps.
At some point and go the opposite direction.
Yeah. Switch it up.
Yeah.
Switch it up a bit.
It sounds
brutal. Imagine seeing the same hill.
You're like,
math isn't my strong point, but like, imagine seeing the same hill like 200 times.
But it's, so it's, I guess there's this little water feature. I think it's around like a lake.
Oh my God.
Oh, so if you look at
water feature,
some of these people, water feature. Like Leah Yingling has no Strava. So it's like, she's uploading her Strava at the end of every day. So I was just looking at her upload from last night. Cause a lot of times she's been running at night. So she'll like run at night and she'll like kind of like take the day off. Not off, but like kind of recuperate a little bit. And so it was like this morning she uploaded it from last night and it was like, you know, like miles 270 to 340 or something. It's just like around this lake. It's just the whole thing, these 2.5 mile laps. But yeah, it does really put it in perspective of like, I'll do a 2.5 mile lap, like 12 mile run. And be like, that's just too repetitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine running around a 2.5 mile loop for 6 days.
I mean, I guess think about it. It's like, you get to turn your brain off for like 5 days. Cause you know, after like a day of it, you get kind of numb and then you never feel scared. Cause you're always going to be like, you know, aid station always there. You're never like at mile 8 of 16. And you're just like, yo, I got to make it 8 more miles before, like, you know, I see someone.
Tommy, what would you be more scared of? Like the mileage, which is absolutely like, it's like, oh, I can't mileage. Even believe like how scary the mileage would be. Or like, you're in your third day of like, probably not sleeping great. So exhausted. Mm-hmm. And then Laura Green and Aaron Azar come up to you with their phones on.
They're like, hey.
And like, ask you a question on Instagram. You're like, I don't even like know how to tie my shoes right now. Never mind, like, comprehend this.
That's scary. I feel like that's the scariest part for me. Not the fact of, I'd love to see Aaron and Laura 1,000 times in the same day. But I think that like the thing that I try to keep myself calm and I try to keep myself cool. I think after like a day or so, I'd lose all of that and I'd start saying things that I probably shouldn't say.
Totally.
You start like divulging weird information, you know?
Your deepest.
Like, Tommy, if you said,
I crapped myself about a mile back there.
If you said like, hey, will you like support me in a marathon or support me in like an ultra, like a 50 mile? I'd be like, yeah, man, I'll be there for you. Like, if you were like, will you support me for 6 days? I'd be like, I don't know if we know each other.
I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to know if I want to
know. That's
okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. Because, you know, like when you ask somebody, like I've never asked anybody this crazy question before, but hey, can you like help like pace me in 100 miler or something like that? Cause what do they have to like join you at mile 30 or something like that? So by the time I see you, I need to know that you know me very well by then to like know how to like work with me at this point. And that's only how many ever hours 30 miles takes. But imagine like seeing some people that you don't really know and like there's a crowd, they're all happy every time you come through and it's day like 4. Yo, like I need to know why you're smiling so much. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's happening here? And why does this person keep trying to hand me a hot dog? I don't know.
Or like, I was thinking, if you're the runner, you're doing your thing. And then, so Courtney White, there's all these photographers there, right?
Yeah.
And like, maybe you go 16 hours without seeing that photographer. And then, you know, they show up and you're just like, you could say you're not going to be deeply resentful that that person just went back to the Ritz and slept for 12 hours, but like no guarantees you don't just unload on them. Like,
yeah, bro. Like, how dare all of you around here change your clothes every day? What's happening?
You know? What is up with that?
I feel like they're changing clothes too. I feel like they're just the same outfit over and over, like Homer Simpson, you know? But like, I just feel like I'd be angry. Like, I'd be upset.
They have, Steph was telling us at one point, they have planned for it. Like, okay, we'll just have like larger and larger shoes as your feet get more swollen. Mm. Or like, we have many, many outfit changes that we can do for you. There was a book years ago about an ultra distance cyclist, which is a little bit different because you're not impacting the ground. So like, you can go for longer stretches, but there was all these stories of like, you know, the manager is like following in a car and the guy would like throw down his bike, walk back and like accuse the manager of cheating on his wife, like committing adultery. Like, I knew it. I figured it out. Like, you are. And like, it was like, okay, sir, you just got to get back on your bike. And then also they figured out, I always remember this. They determined over enough examples that when he absolutely positively like put down his bike and was like, I'm done, I'm totally cashed, that he was their estimate was he was about halfway, his battery was about halfway done. Like,
And you're like, what?
That's the Goggins rule. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and then you got Charlie Dark there, who's like, if you know, Charlie Dark is like all energy and fun. Mm. But like, I don't want to see
a lot
you
on
have,
day four
no,
or five.
No, Charlie.
I don't have time for that either.
And I mean, and he's always got the right thing to say. Like every time you see him, he's like, you just have to smile back because he's such a good guy, a lot of energy. I'm like, day three or four, it's just like, I need you to be like, you know,
I need you to come down a few notches. Like,
I need you to be Charlie Darker and say something like really negative right now so we can like vibe.
Fire
you know
me
what I mean?
The opposite direction.
I mean, like Carolyn Sue's there helping people, right? Like, Carolyn Sue's like the nicest person in the world. You'd be like, I would be so afraid that I would like say something mean to Carolyn Sue and like then I would just be racked with guilt for the next 4 days.
Have you guys ever done that where you like get oral surgery or something and you're like, I went back after like a filling and I was like, hey, I didn't thank you for, and they're like, oh no, you thanked us. Like, you said a bunch of stuff.
You said a lot of things we're not going to repeat.
You know, like, cause you know, when your kids are around and you know, you're in a bad mood, something really crazy happened at work or something. Sometimes you either remove yourself from your kids' area or you say like, hey, you know, maybe it's time for you guys to go upstairs and play your game. You know, I think that would have to happen. For me, like when I'm coming around my loop, you see that I'm coming up the hill, everybody just spread out because I don't need any intention right now.
I think one of the most iconic pictures I saw of the weekend was on Leah Yingling's her Instagram. So her husband is a professional photographer. So he's on her crew. He's an ultra runner.
What's his name for those listening at home?
His Instagram handle is Shit in the Woods. It's great.
I am following him solely because of his handle. That's how I follow people. If I like their handles, I'm like, that's so funny.
It's really...
My jealousy of them as a couple, like, runneth
over. Oh, wow.
Like, she's it's like real. A model and a great athlete. He's a model and a great athlete. And it's just combined, it's like this power couple. Anyway, so he took this iconic picture of her. She's like, she's basically horizontal, lounging, almost falling asleep. She's eating like this sloppy, like, plate of rigatoni with like this little plastic fork and like these huge, monstrous sweatpants and sweatshirts, and people are like tending to her, like four people are tending to her toes and her blisters. And it's like this iconic picture, like she's barely awake.
She's eating bacon. That was bacon.
Oh my
god.
There's
multiple pictures. There's many pictures. Yeah.
Oh,
this is the rigatoni picture.
Calories consumed.
Yeah.
Man, what a difference.
Oh man. I know. I commented on one of his photos like, who's watching out for you? Like who's tracking the hydration of the photographer?
Yes, Peter, thank you. Who's watching the men? Right, a little lemon further. What are we doing for the men there? Right, thank you, Peter.
Good question.
That's definitely what I said.
Women's Day was like 3 days ago. Don't make me cancel you.
Yeah, well, that's.
Well, I mean, how many days? How many? What's the buffer on it? You know, 3 days. I mean, that feels like I gotta wait 72 hours to speak the truth.
You got your day. Everyone understands.
Well, thank you. We got one day.
When are guys gonna get a day?
So much better. I feel like there's so much more equality now circulating through the world. Thank you.
Oh man,
I feel like guys need a day. You know,
every day is guys' day. Please, like,
is it Saturdays for the boys? Do we have one day a week?
I was going to wear my Knuff sweatshirt because
I would have put the mortgage down that you were gonna wear that after the Oscars.
Anyone else watch the Oscars last night? That was an amazing
I didn't. I forgot they were on, and then today
you should
I
dial it up on the YouTubes.
There's this thing called YouTube.
Wait a second, you can just put videos on the internet, no one checks.
Did you know that there's like people doing workout videos on YouTube, guys?
Do you know that there are people who have no accreditation or experience in any professional way just talk about their shoes endlessly?
I learned how to fix my toilet from YouTube one time.
I was gonna say that's what I watch on YouTube. I watch how to like fix things, and then
specifically.
But that's
what have you fixed? What have you fixed courtesy of YouTuber?
Well, my fire alarms were like chirping once, and I couldn't figure out how to make them stop chirping, because even if you like take them out of the wall, they still chirp. And then I couldn't figure out like what battery. It was like a whole thing. So YouTube taught to make your fire alarm stop chirping.
Hang on. Transitioning from attempting to transition from the longest running event I've ever paid attention to in my life to shorter track races like the D1 and D3 indoor nationals. Laura, kick us off. What do you got?
Yeah, so I got really into the D3 national coverage. So partially because a shout out to Noah Drotty and Stu Neustadt. I think I'm saying his name right. They host their own podcast called D3 Glory Days. And they did all the commentary for D3 Nationals. And one of my favorite races was a women's 5,000. I don't know if you guys watched it. But what happened was... I'm going to get all the names wrong. I'm so sorry. But the girl that was leading, she's like an NCAA champion. I think she won like NCAA cross, like great pedigree. She took the women's 5K out. She was probably like 75, 80 meters like ahead within like two laps and kind of just stayed there. And then second and third broke away from the pack and they were just like slowly kind of catching her. But then like the distance kind of like stayed the same for like the middle portion of the race. They were kind of just like 70-ish like meters kind of behind her, but she was slowly slowing down and they were like slowly kind of speeding up. But then what happened with the K to go, the first place girl, she catches like the entire field, right? Like she was lapping like all Americans. It was like crazy. So she starts catching like the whole pack and is passing them. And then as she's doing that, the second and third girl are slowly catching her.
Okay.
But she doesn't know what's going, like she's just in like the lapped runners and they're yes. like, catching her through the lapped runners. And so then like fast forward to like 150 meters to go, the second place girl like goes and catches her and pulls in front of her. And the first place girl at first just thinks it's a lapped runner.
Oh, I'm laughing.
50 meters to go, or maybe even less, like 25 meters to go, she realizes that it's not a lap runner and that someone had caught her. So then it's just like a battle down the last like 25 meters. And the girl that was like in first the whole time ends up like out dipping the second place girl that like caught her. It was wild. It was, and you're watching this and you're like, she doesn't know that this girl's not a lap runner. Like no one is telling her.
Wait, did Noah and Stu, they knew what was going on?
They knew what was going on. And so like they were yelling. And they were like, oh my God, like they like no one's telling her that like this girl is coming. And this girl had a monster kick. Like, cause even with like 800 to go, she was still relatively like far back. But then she went around the girl that was kind of like pacing her and then she just like took off. And it was like it was wild.
Oh man. It warms my heart that D3 running, which I spent many years obsessing, is really warming alive up to and you. Well. Yeah, it's all about storytelling. It's all thank it you. Is. Shout out to Noah and Stu.
Yeah, and it was awesome because like their commentary was so great because not only were they talking about the girl in first, but they kept going back to the pack. They like late named everyone in the pack. Then they were telling stories of the girls like in the pack and then like the second and third place girl that broke away. So they did a really good job like covering a 5K, which like is not that long of a race. Like of covering everything that was happening and you weren't just watching like the girl in first place who was so far ahead of everyone. So it was cool because it like really brought you in and you could kind of see the whole race play out where sometimes I feel like they only focus on like the first place person. But yeah, indoor track is cool because it's just like chaos. It's just like so chaotic like the whole time when there's all this stuff happening.
I like the idea of like, I'm going to try to zoom ahead so I can lap some runners so I can hide in front of them. So like that...
Yeah, she like used lap runners to like just sneak up and like close the door on the girl in first. I was like, wow, tactics.
Yeah. No, I mean, indoor track races are very exciting, particularly in like today's streaming era. And then there's more cameras, there's more commentators. It's like, it's just sort of like find someone who really knows and really cares. And then they'll go totally crazy for the event. And that's what makes it exciting. Not like technically the splits that, you know, oftentimes nowadays you can also get the instantaneous splits read out and you're like, okay, that's helpful for knowing what's going on, but it's more about someone totally going nuts.
Yeah, it's cool. Oh, it's like about like the backstories of the, you give me a backstory on an athlete and I will like unconditionally root for them like forever. So like that's
you're like, this person might finish dead last but may scrape into all American. You're like, I am in.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Here so we that go. Was cool because you're following like the battle for first, but then you're also following the battle for like all Americans and you're like, oh my God, there's so many, like there's races within the race. Like it was cool.
Isn't it funny? Do you ever catch yourself being like talking to someone who's not into running and you're like, so it's a really big deal because if you finish in the top eight, you're all American. They're like, what about nine? That's top 10. You're like, meaningless.
Meaningless.
Could not mean less.
Yeah. Yeah. 10th, who cares?
And you're like, okay. And then it's like cross country. They're like, top 35, like, why top 35? You're like, no idea.
No, that's the rule. That's what it is. I don't make the rules. That's just what it is.
You're into football. You didn't make those rules. I'm into cross country. Like, what's the tiebreaker? Can't explain it. I don't know. It's too complex. There was a lot of indoor action. There was, I will say, despite my curmudgeonness about an ultra event happening out over Instagram, the Division I track and field meet happens. For some reason, the NCAA just like totally gets their act in gear around indoor track and outdoor track nationals. So like, there must be one man or woman who's just geeked out on it, because it's like the Division I championship races happen and then they're uploaded to YouTube like within an hour, and then they're all like highlighted. And so it's sort of a glorious weekend that happens during indoors and then during outdoors, where you can just see a highlight and then know if you go to YouTube, it'll be right there. And I don't want to like say that Parker Valby like sold her soul to the devil, but she certainly is so good at running that it's like borderline, like, wait a second. No one, I mean, there are just certain athletes. The other analogy I came up with, you ever seen The Incredibles, where like the Incredibles don't want their son to run track because it'll be obvious that he's like a superhero. And so then he's running, they let him run the 100 meters and he's running down and he looks up in the stands and they're like, no, slow up a little bit. So he slows up a little bit. And then they're like, okay, you can go. And he goes ahead and then he like wins by just a little bit. I feel like Parker Valby like slipped up a little bit and admitted, like, showed us that she's so much better than everyone else. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, she was on another level. I mean, and even like, what did she run? Like 14:52 in the 5K, something like that. And then in one of like the interview clips, she was saying how she felt like the effort was a 6 out of 10. And I was like,
yeah.
She gave her teammate who like had a good long jump, like a thumbs up while she was running.
See, that was it. Yeah. You were like, saying 6 out of 10. Could be some trash talk because she had to come back the next day and run the 3K. So she's like, you know, is she lying to us? Is she lying to herself? But like the thumbs up to an infield teammate was like, wait a second. There's a wrinkle in the time warp continuum and you have through a wormhole.
It was crazy too, because in the 3K, I think like I saw like Alfine tweeted this, but like, I think the top eight were all under 9 minutes. Like, again, just you're cash. Just seeing, like, I remember like, when I was in college, if you broke like 9:10, you were like, I'm a professional. Like, it's I like, am like the best. And now it's like 9:10 was like 15. Then you're like, Jesus.
For those of you who like don't follow as closely, it's the times don't make any sense. All the times have gotten faster. And the tendency is to go like, okay, yada, yada, super shoe something, super shoe yada. And it's like, yeah, the spikes are slightly better. Like, they have increased the amount of foam in the spikes by a few millimeters. That's fine. Then they're like, oh, what about these tracks, these indoor tracks? And it's like, sure, the same indoor track I ran on in 2003 is the track. They've updated it, but like, it's the same track. And so you're like, what is going on? These times are totally nuts.
It's the depth is just insane. But I think that's part of it, is like the bar is just continuing to be raised. And so like, it's requiring people to like make that leap. And it's also cool, I think, as an athlete, is like you're seeing what's possible. And so the more you see people like Parker Valby and, you know, people that are kind of changing the game, I think it like inspires and encourages more people to really push and find that limit for themselves. And so you're just kind of seeing like the depth continue to kind of grow, but it's wild, like across the board, high school, like even like the high school, like new, like Nike indoor, yeah. I saw like some headlines from that. And it's just like the girls like 4x mile, like set a new record, and like the anchor lay closed in like a 4:37. And she's like in high school and you're like, what are we seeing? Yeah.
To quote the single track podcast, the depth is deep, but as awesome as that is, like what moves the needle ultimately for our sport is greatness, right? Like these individual sports, greatness is what trumps everything in terms of moving it forward. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We saw it with Caitlin Tui for years. And now we're seeing it with Parker Vallaby. We're also seeing it on the men's side from Nico Young. Again, not that they're infallible, not that they can't be beaten or haven't been beaten.
Or did you see the high school kid that he ran 13:38 in high school?
I love that you just knew that off the top of your head. You're like,
oh my
give
God.
Me those digits.
Like, yeah, it's a... That one was burned in my mind. At first, I thought it was like a collegiate meet. And then I was like, wait, it's in high school when he just ran a 13:38.
Like, is that Woody Kincaid? Who is this?
Yeah, I don't remember his name. I'm so sorry for whoever ran that. That was incredible. I don't remember your name, but I remember the time because I was like, no way.
Daniel Simmons. I just looked it up.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, no. Crazy. It totally is bonkers. Well, one thing Matt wanted to discuss that is this proliferation of information.
We only have 3 minutes left. We have 3 minutes left. We're not going to dive into another topic. I have to go. Laura has to go. I will say this. Laura, as someone who loves rock music more than anyone else I know, who goes to plenty of live shows, you're doing the thing right now. You are in it.
You're doing the thing.
How many times when you're looking at the media coverage of the Nike Indoor Nationals, do you look at the NIN logo or branding and think, no, that's 9 Inch Nails. You guys got to stop. That's 9 Inch Nails territory. This is not track territory. Like these are your two favorite worlds colliding. I guess a third if Love is Blind was part of this, but rock music, hard rock and running combined to the NIN medals at Nike Indoor Nationals.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously here for it. So,
are you pro this or anti this as someone who is steeped in the rock side of things?
Well, honestly, I don't like you talking about that just now. I'm like, I haven't paid attention to that. So like, I don't actually know, but I feel like
what a way to go out.
I was like, I don't lie and say, I know what you're talking about, but like, I'm like, I don't know. So I don't have an opinion.
This is the age gap. The age gap is now coming out.
Sorry, put your cardigan on, Matt.
I'll look it up on the YouTubes when I get off, and I'll get back to you.
Let me TikTok that.
Pull over. No, it's a cardigan, but thank you for noticing.
Oh, man. Good times.
If you haven't done so already, go check out our episode we put out on Friday with Tommy, Peter, and Lindsay, all about Tommy's forays in Japan. It really was a fun episode. And even 2 minutes and 30 seconds in the episode, Tommy takes just a flamethrower to his own mother, which was really something to hear. So we actually clipped it. We clipped it for Instagram.
Unexpected.
But really, Lindsay was pro Tommy's mom, and Tommy really needed to put the shine back on him. So... kudos to you, Tommy. Go out and check that out. If you haven't done so already, also make sure you rate and review the podcast. This may seem like something, who cares about rating and reviewing? It actually affects it. Because if you look at the podcast rankings, it is actually affected by how many people rate and review over the last 30 days. So if you do like a podcast, whether it's ours and or somebody else's, go hit them up with a review. It really does help. Thank you so much for listening.
Say you could give a low rating to someone else's podcast.
Peter, we're trying to build the biggest. We're trying to build the biggest building in town, not tear everyone else down.
Oh, okay, I got that. We're skyscrapers here.
Skyscrapers.
Thank you, everyone.
Right. Bye.